And joining us now from Paris is François d'Alençon, who's a foreign correspondent with the French daily La Croix. He's formerly the foreign news editor with La Croix and has covered the Middle East extensively. Welcome to Background Briefing, François d'Alençon.
Good evening.
What is the latest, your understanding, François, of what is happening in Toulouse, where the killer of three French soldiers and a rabbi and three Jewish children is holed up under siege?
Yeah, Mohamed Mehran, this is the name of the man believed to be the gunman, and he's alone in a building in Toulouse, surrounded by police. We don't know whether the police will succeed in getting him surrendering, or they will have to give an assault. I guess we'll know by tomorrow morning.
So I take it that the Interior Ministry troops have said that they want to take him alive. Is that what you understand?
Yeah, the Ministry of Interior said that he was on TV this evening, and he said that we want him to be judged by the French justice system, and so we want him alive.
But he is supposed to be heavily armed, right?
Well, he is, but he is, yeah. But the negotiations, and he has been talking a lot with the police throughout the day. Seems to be very talkative. He's telling a lot of things to the police. He has said why he wanted to do this, what was, you know, he had been motivated by the fate of the Palestinians, the French military presence in Afghanistan, the French ban, France's ban on the full veil. And he even said that he wanted to surrender by the late afternoon, which has not occurred yet. But so there is a constant going back and forth between him and the police through the walkie-talkie system.
Well, again, I'm speaking with François d'Alençon, who is a foreign correspondent with the French daily La Croix. He's a former foreign news editor and has covered the Middle East extensively. And the suspect in this case, Mohamed Mehran, is a 23-year-old French citizen of Algerian descent. He's apparently visited Pakistan and claims to have gone to Al-Qaeda training camps. He was also, I believe, arrested in Afghanistan by the Afghan police. How much did the French authorities have a profile on this fellow already? One would think.
Well, he was being, followed and very closely monitored by the French police since he came back from Pakistan. The last time was, I think, in 2011, because he went first to Afghanistan and then did a second trip to Pakistan and tribal areas. But he has also a criminal record for non-terrorist crimes in France and spent more than a year in jail. And apparently this time, as very often it is the case for this type of jihadist, he spent a long time in jail and became more politically motivated throughout his time in jail, maybe through people he met in prison. But this guy has a very interesting profile in the sense that he was not seen as a religious, very religious-oriented kind of person, but more a sort of juvenile delinquent, you know, very fond of cars and
nightclubs
and
yeah,
going out and enjoying his time. And so it's unlikely profile, but at the same time, he was not an unknown quantity for the police. He was really on, on the list of people closely monitored by the French services.
François d'Alençon, he killed a paratrooper and trapped him by advertising to sell a scooter. And this French paratrooper, Imad ibn Zaitan, he lured into a meeting. Now, killing a fellow Muslim, is that damaging his claims to be? First of all, you mentioned earlier that he said he had killed the rabbi and the Jewish children to avenge the deaths of Palestinian children. The Palestinian president has come out and said that the Palestinian Authority is sick of criminals claiming political acts on behalf of the Palestinian people, and he's roundly condemned what this fellow is doing. How is it playing in France, which has a substantial Muslim population, the fact that he killed this French paratrooper?
Well, obviously, you know, there are several points to make. First, for the French Muslim community, this is really terrible news because, as all the main representatives of the community tried to say today, this doesn't represent the Muslim religion at all, and they were all condemning the action, obviously. But, I mean, there is a fear, obviously, among the Muslim, the French Muslim population and community, that because of this terrorist act, there is will a sort of stigmatization of the whole, of the entire community. And especially, and this is my second point, especially that we are in an electoral campaign. We have a presidential election coming on April 22nd. So it's less, you know, it's 1 month away. And so in that kind of situation and political situation, this latest event is bound to be exploited politically by, for example, the extreme right, the National Front, already criticizing the authorities for being too laxist, too not having arrested this guy before he committed his crime. So this is a very polarized situation where everybody is trying to capitalize for its own sake.
François d'Alençon, again, foreign correspondent with the French daily La Croix and the former foreign news editor and who has covered the Middle East extensively. Given the French political season, which, of course, we have a much longer one here, I regret to say, goes on in for years. What's happening with Sarkozy in the sense that he recently made that statement that France was overcrowded, implying there were too many foreigners? But my understanding is that more recently, his speech in relation to this current crisis and the death of the Jewish children and the rabbi and the soldiers has to some extent redeemed himself. Tell me about how Sarkozy is handling this.
Well, obviously, President Sarkozy is trying to show statesmanship in this very particular event. And so, first of all, he stopped campaigning and today attended the funerals of the three French soldiers in the south of France, in the town of Montauban. And it's obviously could be said on one hand that playing on national unity and appealing to the French public not to indulge in any kind of, you know, scapegoating
blaming
or
anybody,
condemnation, sure, or stigmatization of the Muslim community. So he's trying to, I think, play the role of, you know,
the elder statesman,
the statements above the fray. Right. This is one, and on the same time, obviously, the campaign will resume very quickly, maybe as soon as tomorrow. And so it's very hard today to predict how this particular event will play on the voters. It's a bit too early to tell. You know, some people might say Sarkozy was built all his political career on, you know, being tough on crime, being tough on security issues, you know, being the former Ministry of Interior and being tough on crime and terror has always been his strong suit.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it might also, you know, it can play both ways. Nobody knows exactly as to how this particular one will play on April 22nd.
So, given that Mohammed Merah, the alleged killer of the three French soldiers and the rabbi and the three Jewish children, who was under siege, surrounded in the city of Toulouse, he's very talkative, and has he been talking to the press, or is this talking to the police? How do we know?
No, talking to the police.
Releasing what he's saying, apparently. You're saying that he apparently has claimed to be a member of Al-Qaeda.
Being a member of Al-Qaeda, anybody can claim to be a member of Al-Qaeda. It happens to that, you know, the link with the Al-Qaeda network has to be documented. The fact is that he did two trips, one in Pakistan, tribal areas, one in Afghanistan, 2010, 2011. But apparently he did all that on his own. And at the moment, there is no evidence that there is a group or other people behind this attack and behind the killings. He apparently is a loner, and as we call it here, he's kind of, we call it Salafist jihadist, meaning that became more politicized after spending a year in jail. So, but it's a bit too early to say, you know, that he was on a mission contracted, you know, or assigned by Al-Qaeda structure in the tribal areas. He's claimed, but the evidence is not there.
Well, Al-Qaeda is such an organization that anybody can claim to be
a
member, and he does sound like a bit of an Al-Qaeda wannabe, to use an American expression. And he also, you mentioned that he likes fast cars and nightclubs, and that certainly doesn't fit the profile of a Salafist. He did mention what he was motivated by the laws to ban the burqas in France. Just in closing, let me ask you about what was the French Muslims' response to Sarkozy's recent remarks about France being overcrowded, and two, this fellow, as I said, he's trying to appeal to try to justify his actions in political terms, and he's doing this on the behalf of the Palestinian children.
Yeah.
The Palestinian head of the Palestinian Authority has said, no, we don't believe this. This guy's a criminal. And it sounds like he's also trying to ingratiate himself with the French Muslim community and wrap himself in the issue of the burqa. So two questions. One, what has been the response to Sarkozy's remark about the country being overcrowded? And two, is there any sympathy for this man in terms of this issue that he's raised about the burqas and the veiling?
No, I must say I don't think there is any sympathy among the mainstream Muslim community. I mean, the so-called Salafists are, and especially the Salafist jihadists, are a really marginal and very small population in France. Most of the Muslims, most of the French Muslims are, not very much politicized, not very much into any kind of Islamist groups. So for the average French Muslim, this is really a bad thing, because this guy acted as he's more like a loner, he's more like a disenfranchised kind of juvenile delinquent, and the equation between Islam and terror and the stigmatization of the Muslims is a big issue here, and this is the main fear among the Muslims. The second aspect I should mention is there is an underlying issue, as you probably know, that most of the Muslim youth, or at least a big number of Muslim youth, are unemployed, living in suburbs, sort of ghetto suburbs. And, of course, there is a growing number of those people who are attracted either militant organization, I'm not saying a jihadist, I'm saying by the, let's say, Muslim Brotherhood, and there is a lack of political representation for the Muslim population in the French political institution, and this lack of political representation is obviously a fertile ground for any kind of, you know, for any kind of group or Islamic propaganda.
Just in closing, though, it would seem to me that if this goes badly for Sarkozy, and say there's a terrible shootout and it's a big disaster, it surely will help the right wing, Le Pen's people, right? They're already
well. Yes and no. It's a complicated situation because if Marine Le Pen, the head of the National Front and a candidate for the presidency, if she's seen as exploiting the whole situation too much, it might also backfire on her. And, you know, for the time being, trying to benefit from the situation for any politician is a bit risky. And accusing for example, the French authorities, the police, or the French government of being too, not having prevented the attacks or and the killings, using the whole situation might also backfire. So I am not sure whether she will be able, the National Front will be able to capitalize on this.
Thank you very much for joining us here today, François d'Alençon.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with François d'Alençon, who's a foreign correspondent with the French daily La Croix. He's a former foreign news editor and has covered the Middle East extensively for La Croix. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with the head of the Association of Prosecuting Attorneys about the Stand Your Ground law in Florida that allowed the murder of Trayvon Martin.